How many of us like to take tests? I hate taking or being tested. It reminds me of being or becoming a failure. All through school, I dreaded the days we had them, or even those infamous pop quizzes. As a student, young and foolish, I hated them. But as I became older, not necessarily wiser, I began to realize that tests were a good thing. It shows where your learning is strong or weak, which areas of attaining knowledge needs tweaking. But for Jesus, tests were something extremely negative. He asks those who wish to entrap him, "Why do you test me?" He knows why. He wants his accusers to think before they continue. But they begin with platitudes, trying to impress him. There is nothing wrong with praising someone. In fact, we as sons and daughters of God are to give adoration and praise to him, as Psalm 96 states. As his children, we are to praise God in all things, in all circumstances, good and bad. This is how St. Paul begins his letter to the Thessalonians by saying, "We give thanks to God, remembering you in our prayers." One Christian letting another know that they are not just being prayed for, but to be praised for the good deeds they have done for others. But the praise given Jesus means absolutely nothing, only an attempt to entrap him. Thus, the question to the disciples of the Pharisees and Herodians: did you ever wonder why the Pharisees sent their disciples along with the Herodians to ask him questions? An interesting question to ponder. Is it fear of what Jesus would say to them, or what? Whatever the answer was, they sent their disciples. Their question was, "Is it lawful to pay the census tax to Caesar or not?" Jesus, fully aware of their duplicity, called them hypocrites. In case you may not know what a hypocrite is, it is a person who pretends to have certain beliefs, attitudes, or feelings that they really do not have. We hear the disciples of the Pharisees and the Herodians pretend to know who Jesus is. They begin, "Teacher, we know you are a truthful man and that you teach the way of God in accordance with the truth." Everything they said is absolutely true, but they did not believe what they said. They only pretended. When Jesus responds to situations like this, he doesn't hem and haw over his response. He tells it like it is. And if you noticed, no one likes his response. They may have thought that this was a legitimate question, but they posed it in a way to trap Jesus into saying something was lawful when it was indeed unlawful. As much as we love paying taxes, it is something we must do as faithful citizens. However, the answer to this simple question is put into a whole new level when Jesus responds. The disciples and the Herodians wanted only a superficial answer to catch Jesus off guard. Jesus' answer not only told the questioners, yes, you must pay the tax, but he raised the ante. Give me a coin, he said. He then asked, whose image is on it? They stated the obvious, but then Jesus goes straight to the heart of their question and gives the answer they were not expecting. Then repay to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and to God what belongs to God. For centuries, the image of whomever was ruling was stamped on the coins to show ownership of that coin. So when the disciples and the Herodians answered that it was Caesar's image, Jesus' simple response was to give it back. But Jesus gives a far deeper answer to their question. Jesus' simple answer of giving it back to Caesar becomes an indirect question of this coin. If this coin belongs to Caesar, then to whom do you belong? Jesus sees through their hypocrisy, challenges them and us. The Pharisees, their disciples, the Herodians, the scribes, and the Sadducees all loved money, power, and prestige. Jesus' question of who do you belong to, or whose image is impressed upon your soul, is why Jesus can say, give to Caesar, give to God. What these disciples and the Herodians had forgotten is that we don't belong to ourselves, but to the one who made us in his image. What we must remember, everything we have received from him. We are just stewards and must give an account. Let's take a quick look at our first reading from Isaiah. We are introduced to a pagan king named Cyrus. He knows nothing of God, of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Yet God calls him his anointed. Then God reveals to Cyrus, though you do not know me, I have done all things for and through you. I have a plan for you, Cyrus. It was extremely rare that God would reveal himself to a pagan, but this is what happened. God's plan for Cyrus was to open the way so God's chosen people could return to their promised land. What made Cyrus open to hear and respond to God? It is the same thing that the Pharisees, their disciples, and the Herodians refused to see, hear, and respond. Cyrus and all humanity was and is created in God's image. All humanity is stamped with his image, firmly impressed upon their souls. There are those who knew me not, when inspired, responded and did great things like Cyrus. There are those who know God and do the same. Then there are those who refuse to be inspired by God, even though they say they know him. So the challenge for us is, when we hear his soft voice amid the clamor and noise that surrounds us, how will you respond? Will you give to God what belongs to God?